And we've been looking at the outworking biblically of the outworking of human history. That's what we've been doing, looking from the Old Testament, looking to the New, right past into eternity. We're seeking to understand by way of the Old that which is going to be tomorrow. Now, so therefore, and we're looking at the moment in the book of Daniel. So, and keeping in mind as we do that, history moves very orderly. So, when we came to Cain and Abel, Cain built a city, and he built the city, and it was one city. And that city just developed and developed and developed. And then it ended up Genesis chapter 6, which is what you're looking at. And humanity was of one mind and one heart. There was no religion. There was no politics. Just humans being humans. So, and therefore, and like Cain leaving God out, God was there, and Noah walked with God, Genesis 6, 8, etc., 8. But the people did not. So you have a whole civilization. Chapter 6, verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That never changed. Never changed. Never was going to change. Hang on to that. Now, and therefore, so we have the Genesis flood, and you go over to Genesis chapter 11. And what do we have? Those that survived the flood, Noah and his family, and then all the humans that were born, starting history all over again. And all the humans that born did the same thing that Cain did. And they didn't go the way of Noah, they went the way of Cain. And therefore, Cain built a city, and here comes in the days of Noah, after the days of the flood. And what do they do? They built a city, Genesis 11, and a tower. This time they added a tower reaching up to the skies. Remember, they worshiping, were looking at the stars, the moon, the sun, and everything, and making it as looking for God up there, because they forgot God had made the heavens and the earth. And so therefore there they are looking, and they did what? They did the same thing. Do humans change? No. Not unless they want to change. And God allowed them. Noah could change, but the people didn't. So in the days of Genesis 11, and you'll notice in verse 6, and the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they imagine to do. So they're able to do, like in the days of Genesis 6, the same crowd, only they've advanced politically and religiously, and they've advanced. So how evil can they get? How far away, how deep into darkness can they get? How deep into nothingness, idolatry? There's no end to it. There's no end. Terribly, terribly deep. And so therefore, as we go, human history marching along, and we come, and that's human history, hang on to that, apart from God's grace, Abraham, etc., and Abraham alone, and God raises up Israel, and Israel was to be a people, among people, and they were to understand God's wonderful person, and to believe in God's wonderful presence and person. The world wasn't doing it. Egypt wasn't doing it. But Israel was raised up 430 years to do it. So they were ready. It took 430 years. They were ready to go at Mount Sinai, and they went to meet God. And so therefore, here they are. And they're all there in the presence of God. They were to enjoy the benefits of the presence of God. They're not all saved, but they're all under the influence of God's wonderful care, and God would help them to come to know him. And so in the process, here's Israel, and Israel what? It chooses as it does. It doesn't choose to believe God like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It chooses not to believe God. So Exodus 20, as you know, verse 8. Exodus 20, everyone did that which is right in their own eyes. That's what they did. They said, God, you tell us what you want, we'll do it. Now that can't be, because the flesh never can please God. That's never going to happen. So Israel is able to go and be a wonderful, wonderful nation. That is, they enjoy the benefits of God's wonderful care and keeping. Are they all saved? No. No, not all saved. But they have the care and keeping, and God is bearing witness to his wonderful presence and making for grace to be found among them. And that's why they had sacrifices morning and evening, etc., etc., etc. That's why they had clothing and to know the difference between clean and unclean, holy and unholy, clothing, animals, eating, everything. That doesn't save them. It helped them understand they were in the presence of a holy God, and they needed to understand the difference between their humanness, ordinariness, and God. That's why they learned it. They aren't saved, but that's what they're learning. And many of them could be saved. All they had to do was believe. That's all they had to do. Not everyone did that, I'm sure. So therefore, otherwise you'd see it differently. And so therefore, as you go down the corridor of time, that's what it's going to do as you go down. And why? I gave it space. I gave it in Noah's day, 420 years. I gave it each time comes, the law, the grace, tribulation, 7 years. I give everything a space, kingdom, 1,000 years. I give man every kind of condition that's possible, from Garden of Eden to the kingdom to the end, to tribulation, where the demons and everyone have full control over the whole earth. I give you every kind of condition. So when Revelation chapter 20, verse 10 comes, when I judge every human being, I'm going to judge them. And no one in Noah's day, the tribulation, or kingdom, or anywhere else will be able to say, if you just did it different, God, we'd come out. No, God said, I gave it every way possible for a civilization to fix it. And they never fixed it. And you're all guilty. So no one says anything, God, if you just did things fairer. No, you never will say that to God. God gave us humans every condition ever to fix it. And we never did. Now, so, and back over to chapter 7. And so Daniel wants to know, rightly so, about this image. And he wants to know about the 10 horns. And he wants to know all of it. And so in the light of that, the body of Belshazzar, etc. So when we come over, if I can, in chapter 7, picking up, if I may, Daniel, you're going to go. Daniel, what? No, you're going to get this part, because I got to There's two areas here. One is Daniel is writing this. Daniel has this information by way of God's understanding. He writes it down. We're reading it. Daniel had that. He was living in a day when Belshazzar was going to be taken off the scene. Darius was coming in chapter 5 and to come in. And it's in the first year. And so Daniel, what is there? What happens, Daniel? Well, you're being explained as Daniel chapter 2, the image of a man. Daniel chapter 7, the image of wild beast. The man became a wild beast. The man is a wild beast. Yeah. So therefore, as we go, look, the wild beast, not a wild beast. Boy, that's hard. I'm looking, God. I'm looking for some hope. I'm looking for some, to make it come out good. You're helping us understand. But God, we want it to come out good. And the vision, what does it do to me? Well, chapter 7, as I said, verse 15. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit and in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. And I'm very, very sad and disturbed in my mind as I understand, as I look out realistically to the future. It isn't pleasant. It doesn't look good. And it doesn't make me very happy. God, I'm grieved. Why are you grieved, Daniel? God has to do it. It's his plan. You got a problem, Daniel? I do. I'm missing something. I'm getting all this understanding, and I'm missing something. So when we come over to chapter 8, in chapter 8 again, and you'll note in chapter 8, we're picking up, and we have in chapter 8, we go back, if I can, chapter 8, and in the third year of the reign of Belshazzar, that's 553 first time, and now it's 550. And in the third year of the reign of Belshazzar, a vision appeared unto me. So this is another vision. And another vision comes, this time, in the third year when Belshazzar is reigning. And a vision appeared unto me, even unto me, Daniel, after that which appeared unto me at the first. And I saw a vision, and it came to pass when I saw it, that I was in Shushan, in the palace, which is in the province of Elam, and I saw in a vision, and it was, and I was by the river Ulai. When then I lifted up my eyes and saw, behold, there stood before me a ram, which had two horns, and the two horns were high, but one was higher than the other, and the highest came up last. Now that's the Media Persia Empire. Media was up there over Persia. Persia and Media in the days of Darius came together. And in the Western, when they came together, Persia rose up over Media, etc. in verse. So one horn's longer than the other, Media Persia. And that's the ram. That's a ram. And then it tells all the details. All the details about what? About Media Persia and Greece. Daniel chapter 2, you have Babylon, Media Persia, and then Greece. And now God's going to have a detail of how Greece takes over Babylon, takes over Media Persia, takes it over. And that's chapter 8. That's what that's about. Now, and so the ram, and you want to go down if I can, in the light of that. And picking up, if I may, in verse 8. And picking up, here's the ram, and I'll read verse 8. Therefore the he-goat waxed very great, And when he was strong, the great horn was broken, for it came up, four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven, etc. All of those are details. Just notice the little point. You got a ram, a wild ram, a male sheep, and you've got a goat, a he-goat. Now, the ram is going against the he-goat. Now, what is that? You say, well, how do you know that? Verse 20. Chapter 8, verse 20. The ram, which thou sawest, having ten horns, are the kings of Media Persia. And the rough goat is the king of Greece, Alexander the Great, etc. And the great horn was in between his eyes is the first king, Alexander the Great. What powerful. And he would have, if he didn't die, he died at what, 32, whatever his age is. He died. He was near taking over the biggest area. Big, powerful. Yeah, Alexander the Great. You want to know about the silver and the bronze between Media Persia and Greece? Here, chapter 8 gives you the detail. You don't have to guess. The details. So how it worked out. So when you read it, and it all comes to pass. Wonderfully so. Just how it all works out. That's what it does. So, and therefore, Daniel, how are you doing? Chapter 8, sliding over, if I may, to verse 27. And chapter 8 and verse 27. And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick certain days afterward. I rose up and did the king's business, and I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it. So you're getting awesome, wonderful understanding of how God's going to do everything to outwork everything. But every time you get it, it's very disheartening, and you're losing your heart and courage. Daniel, don't. I don't understand how. Nothing's going out good. It's all going downhill. That's correct. It has to go downhill. Man chose to leave me out of the picture. Genesis chapter 6. And I'm going to go. But I died to save all of these people. All humans, I died to save them. They have to be born. They have to exist. They have to let it come to pass. I'm going to give every kind of condition so that no one can say anything. I'm going to let it all happen. Do you understand that, Daniel? Daniel. And us believers, we need to understand it. We get sad with the bad news. You read Revelation, that's not a very positive book in the sense of good things happening. The islands disappear and the rivers turn to blood. I mean, that isn't very, very encouraging. I got to see it. Daniel's problem. You're leaving God out of the picture. You don't understand what's happening. You don't understand why it's happening. That's why I started off a little bit to help. To remind ourselves, we're humans, and humans need to be saved. Humans need to be godly. God made them to enjoy his image and likeness. God did not enjoy them, make them to be like a wild beast. No sin shall glory in my presence. I did not make that. I did not want that. I do not want that. So therefore, in the light of that, here's Daniel going through what he does in the way that he does it. So now, trying to put that together a little bit and keeping that in mind, if I can, if you would, go with me, please, over. And here we are. So just doing it for us at this point, at least a little bit. So over to, if I can, Follow it, let it, one step after another. John, Gospel of John, and chapter 17. Gospel of John, chapter 17. When our Lord is finished with the instructions in the upper room before his crucifixion, and he talks to the Father, and he reminds, and God is told us to be in mind as he reminded, as Jesus Christ makes it clear. Chapter 17, verse 18. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. I sent them into the world just like I am. So, and that's why you're reading the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You read about his life. How was he received? How was he believed? How was he treated? They hated him. Yep. As my Father sent me, I sent you. So therefore, we have an assignment to go to a world of darkness that doesn't want to receive it. Light. They love darkness rather than light. They don't want to receive light. So that's our job. It's a job. Next week it's the same. Next year it's the same. It's all the same. Till the Lord comes. It's the same. The world is the same. It honors pride. It honors its humanity. Pride. I didn't understand it too much. A selfie, is it selfie? Selfie, is this what you do? If someone has held the camera up looking at themselves, is that selfie, is that what you call it? Yeah, that's selfie. That sounds wonderfully proud. I want you to see me. I don't want to see me. No, you got the idea. Pride. But pride, you don't understand, I'm a man. But I don't understand, apart from God, I'm like a wild beast. And you aren't very good. You aren't supposed to be a wild beast. You're supposed to be a believer, honoring God. But we act as if there was no God. We live as if there was no God. Right, wild beast. Now, so having said that, as my Father sent me. So, well, head over to chapter 16, you're right next door. And you remember, we're not reading it, but we did it last time, chapter 16. And you'll remember just the first part, you'll see it. These things, chapter 16, verse 1, as he ended his message to the disciples in the upper room, these things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended, stumble over me, that they'll put you out of the synagogue. Synagogues, yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service, etc., etc. He clued you in. He told the disciples. He told them, as my Father sent me, I'm going to send you. And you're going to go to a world that the world that hates me hates you. Why does it hate you? Because you love me. And therefore, what are you going to do? So therefore, I'm not telling you you're going to go to a picnic. I'm not going to tell you they're all going to love you. They probably hate you. Well, I don't love you at all. Don't love you. And I remember the pastor, my dear Pastor Richardson, at my ordination, looked down. I remember I was sitting right up there. I remember I told you. I sat right in that corner, and he's up here. And in the process, in that big church, and he looked down and said, remember now, they're not going to like what you're going to do. And you're going to have to do it anyway. Go do the job. They do not want the job done right. But go do it anyway. Go do it. The world doesn't want to hear what you're going to do. But go do it. I said, I didn't understand. I said, why not? I like people. Yeah. Now, so therefore, chapter 16, verse 33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world, you shall have tribulation, pressure squeezing, oppression, everything else. You're going to have it. But don't get discouraged like Daniel. But be of good cheer, courage. I have overcome the world. Wow. Now, so God, what are you saying? Well, then God said, I'm going to send you forth. Send you forth as it would. I do it that, but see it. But turn the pages and keep you awake fast. Matthew in chapter 10. How did you send him forth to the Jews back then? Chapter 10. The Jews. What were the Jews going to do to the Jews? What were they going to do? The unbelieving Jews are going to persecute the Jews that were believing. Chapter 10, if I may, in verse 5. 10 and 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, but unto my way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans, neither go ye not to the Jewish people. So he sent them to the Jew first. They deserved to hear first. And therefore, you slide over to chapter 15, verse 15. 10, 15. I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable in the day of Sodom and Gomorrah, than in the day that the day of judgment than for the city. In other words, Sodom and Gomorrah are going to be better off than all these cities because they had opportunity that Sodom and Gomorrah never had. And they're going to have an opportunity. They're just not going to take advantage of it in a wonderful, wonderful way as they should. Verse 22, as you keep reading, and ye shall be hated. 10:22, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. So God, what are we going to say? It isn't going to be a good journey. So Daniel, what are you getting discouraged for? Because I need some more help. And we're ahead of Daniel. That's why we're able to read this. Daniel never had this. Daniel never understood this. You and I do. You and I have it. So we should be better off than he in a wonderful, wonderful way. So over, if I can, picking up, if I may, over in Romans in chapter 8. And in Romans in chapter 8, picking up, if I may, which you know. Just put the page after page in order. Romans in chapter 8, and in verse 36, you know, I'm going to go up in verse 31. What should we then say? If God be for us, who can be against us? And then you slide down to verse 36. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. He never said you're going to have wonderful success. He said, and that's why Isaiah, Jeremiah, each one. Where are your converts? For 40 years, 41 years each. Where are your converts? There aren't any. The nation's gone downhill. That doesn't mean they weren't believers. The system never believed. So your whole ministry, what did you produce? Nothing. Nothing. Do it anyway. Because I'm going through history. I'm giving opportunity to all humanity in every kind of setting so that no human will ever say, God, you weren't fair. You weren't reasonable. But no one will ever say that to me, said God. No one will ever say that. No. No. No, I'm going to be fair. And therefore, here we are going down the corridor of time. And in verse 37, obviously is necessary since we're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Sheep before the shearers is dumb. As a sheep and the wolves are out to get us. Verse 37, chapter 8. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We're more than conquerors through him that loved us, but more than that. So therefore, you're overcomers. I have overcome, said the Lord. Would you please go? I gave you the victory. Exercise it. What do you mean victory? I'm going to send you forth. I have an assignment to be a light. I'm going to keep the light lit. You keep your relationship abiding in me. I'll keep the light lit in a dark world that hates you. And you do it till I take you home. And don't get discouraged. If I just think work would come up better, things would come up better. And the governments and all the world that's happening now, and many things are happening all over, and the details and the backgrounds, we wouldn't want to know. It's so discouraging. But it has to be. So what you see in the surface is one thing. What's going underneath is a whole other ballgame. And that's what's that's what's calling the shots. It's the basements that's gonna call the shots for the first floor. And that's where it's going. And you have to understand that's what's happening. So you think, boy, it should come out. It ain't gonna come out. I wish it would come out. But it just isn't gonna come out. But it's all right. It isn't supposed to. It's supposed to come out if they would trust God. But they hate God. They hate light. So they aren't going to get it. So well, I'm going to be a believer and listen to what God said, and he's going to outwork history. Yes, he is. He's going to do it, whether we like it or not, whether we understand it or not. We're part of it. And God's going to do it. So therefore, be discouraged. Be encouraged. As you get up, all kinds of things. But what? God, then God's giving you another day to be a light in the dark place. And the world's doing in their pride, humanness. We aren't wild animals. We're going to fix things globally and otherwise. We're going to make the system work out. And each one wants to make the system work out the way they want it. So be of good cheer. Daniel, you're a real help to us. I wish we could have spoke to you back then. You probably wouldn't have listened to us because you said, well, how could you guys know such stuff? Wouldn't they say that? If you went back and talked to Daniel way back then and told them about the wonderful thing it is, by the grace of God, you're new creatures in Christ, you're part of the body of Christ, he'd look at you and say, what are you talking about? What on earth are you talking about? Yeah.